Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Love you, Lord. We glorify you. We give you the glory, the honor, the exaltation. All the glory, Lord, for you are good. Thank you for your truth and thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you help us, you teach us. You reveal to us, you speak to us, because we want to hear only from you. And we give you the honor in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we're in a new study series titled, Teach Us How to Pray. Last time, we saw what the Lord Jesus Christ said on what prayer is and what prayer isn't. Today, we're going to see, I don't know how far ahead I'm going to get into it, just due to time, but today, we're going to see, how did Jesus pray? How did the Lord pray? Very interesting. Very interesting. How did the Lord pray? Now, our foundational text is in Luke 11, verse 1. Now, it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. Well, as we're studying, in your time of prayer through these days, you could say, Father, teach me how to pray. Teach me to pray. Now, let's see if the disciples, the very studious, what is truly prayer? It's a communion and fellowship that has to do with the communication. Communion and fellowship, that is prayer, especially for us under the New Testament. And I said this because many of us come from churches. This is not to criticize nor to judge, but I have to just do a comparison. Many of us come from churches where praying was just to ask. We had that idea of prayer is asking the Lord for things. But think about it. Just think about it this way. The creator of the universe, the one who created this entire planet Earth, the stars, the sky, everything that is in this earth, he wants to have communication with us. He wants to have a relationship. He desires. And not just a bunch of religion and dead words. Which is why I asked you right now before recording. Not just ideas of man. Not just words that come out because we're used to it. But there has to be faith. And Bible. It's in line with the Bible. That's what God desires. Now, in Revelations, let's see how Jesus prayed. Revelations 4. 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created by your will. Now, I don't know if we have another version that has the word will there. In the Greek means out of your pleasure. Out of your pleasure. Normally we have a bad idea of the word pleasure. In our mind we associate it with something sexual. And in other occasions it could be people associated just with perhaps a desire or a food or something that brings you pleasure in that sense. But in this sense, based on love towards us, it was out of his pleasure. We were created. As you know, Adam in Genesis 3, the Bible says before the fall of man. In verse 8, after the fall of man here, and they heard, did I say it correctly? Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. You see that word there? they were walking in the garden. That walking there indicated that communion, that fellowship of spending time. And it implies that the Lord was always there with them. Now, think about this. Do you think that Adam or Eve, before the fall, what could they have spoken with the Lord? Just think for a moment. Were they having to rebuke the devil? Well, of course not. Illnesses? No. There was a constant communication, a conversation. That's how you can start praying. Not conversations of doubt and say, Lord, look at the issue that I have, and this sister went through this. What this sister walked by and didn't greet me, and it hurt my feelings. Not nonsense of that. But you can speak with him. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you because you helped me. Father, who do you want me to bless today? Who do you want me to pray for? But before you tell me why or for who, just let me spend some time with you. And I don't want to ask you anything. I will just tell you that. Thank you for this day. I'm very willing to just thank him for the most minimal thing. Yesterday, the day before, I had some chocolate ice cream. And I sat down in the living room, and I said, thank you for letting me sit down here in peace to eat my ice cream. Because I'm drinking a cup of coffee, because I can go out to ride my horse. And I thank the Lord because I can ride my horse. And I thank the Lord for the day. And I sometimes thank him out of faith when it's very hot. You say, Father, thank you that you know that I don't like the heat, but the Bible says that there has to be heat and cold. But when it's cold, thank you, Father, for the cold. I didn't say that's the only thing you're going to pray, but you can start with that. In our next sessions, we're going to see the motto of what of God the Father. And that's how I start sometimes, God the Father, but I'll be explaining on that. Not just vain words. So what is prayer then? Prayer is communion, fellowship with God. It has to do with that eternal life, with that relationship, communication with the Father. God left us the privilege, the honor, that through prayer, we could have communication, daily communication in every day with our Heavenly Father. Now, let's go then to Matthew. I think that's where we left off last time. In Matthew, glory to God, hallelujah, Holy Father, for you are good. In Matthew 6, Matthew, you'll like this if you like the study of the Bible, the Holy Ghost will enlighten in front of you. Now, I'll be touching on the Holy Spirit a little more in this series, so you truly know him, not just, oh, the Holy Spirit, and you don't even know what you're talking about. People speak of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit isn't there in what they're talking about. With God, always come with him. Remove all religion. Just read the Gospels, and you'll see that the Lord was more merciful with the tax collectors, with the prostitutes, than with the very religious. He wasn't very, very kind with the religious. He didn't tolerate them much. Remove all religion and be practical. My pastor, who was in heaven, would tell me that God was a practical God. And he would also tell me, many people think that practical and spiritual are against each other, but no, they're in hand in hand. Now in Matthew 6, verse 1, let's see how the Lord spoke. But the Lord, if he would tell you not to pray a certain way, it's that he didn't pray that way. Do you understand? Matthew 6. I'm going to grab my Bible here to not lose time. Verse 7. Because we saw the other verses in our past session. Some verses in chapter 5, the first verses in 6, correct? We spoke of the motive. 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Let's say it this way, as pagans in our case, that think that they will be heard for their many words. Again, this is very important. Prayer is very important. And if you know how to pray, you'll enjoy, you'll want to pray. If you're in the street, or and it's good to also pray, to pray in the street, but you want to have that intimacy with the Lord. You're going to want to be with Him. It'll be a habit for you. Now, for some of you, to wake up early to pray. Oh, your mom, Pastor. Or something like that. You're going to make a habit out of prayer. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Now, do you know what vain means? Vain, something useless. Useless, worthless, ineffective, fruitless, something that does not produce, hollow or empty. That's what vain means. One more time. Useless. Worthless. Some of you were going to say amen. I'm not telling you. This is just what the word vain means. Ineffective, fruitless, hollow. So we could say, and praying, do not use useless repetitions. Leave the definition there, thank you. Do not use useless repetitions or worthless repetitions or hollow repetitions or empty repetitions or fruitless repetitions. Words that will not produce, as I've told you to guard your words. Even when you're praying, don't run with it. Don't try to please God and just saying words. Let them be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Words have to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not use vain repetitions. Now, let's see in the Greek the word repetition, and you'll be surprised, or the verb to repeat. Here in the Greek, that word, vatologio, means stutter. But there's nothing there. Indicates in the Greek repeating things over and over again. Using a lot of idle words and or saying nonsense. It's a very strong word there. It's a conjoined definition. It's a conjoined word there. What it indicates is you use words, and those words are used so much, you end up speaking nonsense. Chicken prayers. Just repeating. Just noise. A pastor friend of mine says, spacious prayers. Not special, but spacious, because they go out to nowhere. Verse 7. Do not use useless, hollow, nonsense repetitions. And when praying, do not use hollow, empty, useless repetitions or nonsense repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. You know what the word verbosity means? Just constant words. One time, a friend of mine, we were in primary school, and he came out very, very angry and said, "Oh, come on, let's leave," because my dad threw some words on me, you know, scolded him. And after my dad would scold me, I say the same thing. And now, verse 8, therefore, do not be like them. To who? To the heathen, to pagans. And unfortunately, God bless them. many children of God, many Christians, who just talk to talk. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask them. Before you ask Him, He already knows what your need is. Oh, religion tells you, oh, then why pray? You know why? Because you're here on this earth and authority was given to you on this earth. And so that God can be involved in your issues and that He has the authority of involving Himself. Then it's part of the fact that we pray to have communication with God. Firstly, communication primarily, to have that communication with Him. That's the principal thing. But also, we give Him that right of involving Himself in our lives. Hallelujah. One more time. Look at verse 8. Do not be like them. Don't use vain words just to use words. Learn to hear from the Lord. Look, I'll explain something to you very quickly. Do you know why so many people do things and say that God guided them to do it? Or they even accuse the Holy Spirit of speaking and saying something. In reality, it's their mind. I want you to understand, your mind is alive and speaks to you daily because there's a lot of information. You have to learn to hear from here, to listen from here. And if you spend more time in the light of your phone, in the light of your iPad, and in the light of your computer, you know what's going to happen? You will not hear from God. And you're going to think that every idea and thought is from God. But your mind is alive. Your mind has a lot of information, actually contrary to the Word of God. And that's where Satan speaks to you. The Spirit of God speaks to the human spirit. The ideas of man and Satan and everything that's happening out there comes here to your mind. So you have to learn to discern if it's your mind or if your spirit. And you have to evaluate with the written word. Hallelujah. Continuing. How did the Lord pray? That interests me to know. Well, before continuing, I'll tell you something else that the Lord doesn't do. But the Lord no longer does. You know why? I've already said it. You and I have that advantage. The Lord did not speak in other tongues. Do you remember why? I already told you. Oh, what was that? Why? Because they were not in the time. They were not in the time. The Holy Spirit, that's all he didn't have. I believe he had the ability, but he would not violate. He would not go against the commandments of the Father. But we can learn those principles and follow the act that he would pray. Think about it. If the Lord Jesus prayed, who do you think you are to not pray? And the Lord prayed a lot. We're going to see that later on. But who do you think you are? If the Lord prayed, why do you think you don't have to pray? Now, let's read a bit on the Lord here. Just follow along. There are not many registered prayers as a proper way of how the Lord prayed. There aren't many, but I can take you to one of them. And it's in a chapter, and you'll see. I'm going to read it. So you can see how the Lord said, do not use vain repetitions. Now think about it. When the Lord prayed, He gave us a flow to follow. He did not pray in tongues. You do pray in tongues. But the principle of praying is the important part. The principle of praying is the important part. Go to John 17. And now here's that principle. All of chapter 17 is a prayer. All of chapter 17. It's a bit bothersome to read the whole thing. I don't want to, because I read some parts of how I pray. I'll tell you how I pray. Be healed in the name of Jesus. You receive it? Amen. It's a bit bothersome to read it, but I'll read it just for the benefit or to prove what I'm sharing here, that the Lord did not use vain repetitions. And if he didn't, why do you? Amen. If he prayed a lot, why don't you pray? Because I don't have time. The thing is, you don't do it at all. Yeah, I'm not going to obligate you. I'm just saying what the Lord said here. Jesus spoke these words. Verse 1, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out to the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have spoken surely that I am forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me in the world, I also sent them to the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through the world, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is a prayer. Chapter 18, I won't read all of it, but the first word, when Jesus spoke these words, it could have been translated after having prayed these things. Can you see? That's a prayer. Did you see any weird words there? I don't know. I believe the Lord wasn't doing just weird gestures like, oh, Holy Father. I have manifested your name. Something that I detest is religion, because I come from there. It may seem like a joke, but it isn't. This is the truth of the gospel. Now come to Sunday so you can see the next series that I'm starting. I'm going to start with things that religion detests. What I'm going to speak on Sunday, which are the foundations of Christianism, are truly, religion hates it. The devil detests these things. Now, did you see that prayer? He was talking with God, his Father. Now, another part, a little shorter, in Luke 10. Now, what did he pray here? Here, this is written. But you'd be surprised how many times the Bible says that the Lord departed to different places and would pray. Now, where did I tell you to go to? Luke 10. Did I tell you the verse? Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Notice in 23, then he turned to his disciples and said, that means in 22 he didn't say it necessarily to the disciples, but it was inspiration from the Spirit of God. Can you see it? One more time. 21 starts with prayer. 22, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. 23, then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Glory to God. Do you and I have more revelation than Isaiah, than Jeremiah, than Elijah and Elisha, with all the miracles if you take advantage? No, stay where you are. I'm going to pray for you very quickly. I detest healing. Do you too as well? In the name of Jesus, I curse all work of the devil in your body. I release that healing power. And we resist any symptom in your body. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Amen. Release that healing power. Amen. Never accept anything. None of you. Not a single. No, my hair hurts here. You have so many. Don't accept it. Don't accept any pain. Don't accept it. I don't accept anything. There are Christians who hate sin. One time a brother, I detest adultery, Brother Hughes, because he was mad with another brother in Christ who him and I know, and the leader and so, that's all I'm going to say about it. And we know the wife. The wife was there. We prayed for her. She was very sad. The situation was very sad. And this brother, oh, I don't know how this man did this and so many years in the Lord. And I detest adultery. And I said, you should also detest illness, Brother Hughes. I know it was it was outside of what was happening. It just came out like this. that inspiration came out. Because that's how you should detest illness, poverty, sin. The departing from the things of God, detest it. I detest all of that. If something I resist is illness and pain, then praise the Lord. I know some of you think, oh, that's so harsh, but look at the results. Great results. Great results. All glory to God. All honor to God. Now, how did the Lord pray? What if we see, if we see here, those instances? But I want to see something here. The Bible says that he would pray. If you remember in Luke, one more time, Luke 11. Notice how verse 1, Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, what he was doing? He was praying. Now, Matthew 11, verse 26. I don't want to clutter you with Bible. I just want to give you a few more verses to explain. Matthew 14, verse 26. And the disciples... No, wrong. 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. To pray by himself. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out by fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Now, I want you to see this. The Lord was praying. He was praying during the night. Do you remember how we read in the Bible that the Lord said, "I cannot do anything. I only do what the Father tells me to do." The Spirit of the Lord told him. And the gift of miracles, manifested, because that's a miracle to be able to walk on water. He didn't pray in tongues, but he was guided by the Spirit. And that's one of the things that you should know, that when you spend time, you will hear from God. Well, you will start hearing for yourself, just as how I heard in 2020, do not accept a single illness of COVID. Do not be in fear. Do not close the church. Again, one more time. Oh, well, that church closed and that other pastor closed the church. Remember, I'm not judging anyone else because I don't know what God told them. Amen. Be careful of judging those things. This is what God told me. And by the grace of God, once I received direction, the Spirit of God told me, stand firm on 3 John 1:2, beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper in health just as your soul prospers, and some other verses. But that was the principal thing, but I started speaking it. Now comes what? Once you have direction, comes faith. Faith to act on what you're directed on, based on the Word of God. And I'll tell you something, glory to God, by the grace of God, I prayed for people who were sick with COVID. I went to the houses of people who were infected to pray for them. I did reunions in Mesa and in Phoenix. And there were people infected. I remember a sister in Christ who went to the reunion in Mesa. And she was the weekend there. And she said, "I feel terrible." And I prayed for her that Saturday, and on Monday she calls me very concerned, saying, "Pastor, I came out positive, and I greeted your daughters and forgive me." She was very concerned about it. "I don't want to infect her, and I didn't know." And I said, "Relax, sister, relax. We've already been vaccinated." Oh, did you put the vaccine? No. I vaccinated now with the blood of Jesus. Again, I'm not condemning anyone if you had that vaccine or not. It's not on me. That's not on you. This is about me. I'm giving my testimony. Because nowadays, people don't want to give testimony because then we're going to make those who got vaccinated feel bad. Well, I'm not condemning anyone. Supposedly, this is how it works. That everything that you're going to do, you're directed by the Spirit, correct? How this man once told me, Brother Hughes, over there in Phoenix. What are you referring to? It's because, look, Brother Hughes, I'm very sure that the Lord told me that I should not have that vaccine. Well, then don't have it. But if I don't take it, they're going to fire me from my job. We'll have them fire you. Think about it. Forgive me. The joy wins me over. I'm not disappointed. I'm not mad. Calm down. Think about it. If God told you not to do that or to do this other, what do the consequences matter? This is how it works. He told me to preach everything that I'm preaching right now. Actually, can we have the picture, please? Yes, please. A picture that I'm going to share here with you. Do you know why I speak of kingdom and government? Actually, there are people here who get bothered because I speak it. What do you know of what God told me? I'm not going to share it with you. I'm going to share it with my Lord. Why should I have to stop speaking of certain things just to please two or three carnal ones here that pay more attention to socialism? It's embarrassing to be Christian and a socialist. It's best if you never say that you're a Christian. Just keep it to yourself. But supposedly, if God tells you something and you know that it's of the Lord and guides you to the Bible, what do the consequences matter? But Brother Hughes, I'm gonna lose the house and I'm gonna lose the car. So what? If God told you. But I'll tell you something. The average Christian, or God doesn't talk to them, or doesn't even pay attention. They don't pay attention if God doesn't speak to them. Well, they're going to disobey. No, I wanted the whole text. Can you not see it? Now, this was 17th of February in 2016 in Palos Verdes in Fred Price's home. Now, can I have the text there, please? I wrote it down. Can you put it up there, please? Or whoever's on multimedia there on the screen? You know what he was telling me? Fred Price was telling me, Ignacio, do not change the message. Because we were talking about why have to change the mention that has worked for us for years. He told me, don't change the message. If God shares something with you, teach it, but teach it on the foundations that you learned. And that's what I do. For example, today, I'm seeking things of prayer. That when I started preaching of faith and prayer, what I'm sharing here with you, I didn't understand it completely. My prayer was just making confessions. If you see, it's on the same foundations. There we go. Fred Price told me, Ignacio, never change your message. If God teaches you something else, teach them with the foundations that you learned. Never go away from them. Teach them in the laws of faith. And he himself made that question. Why have to change the message that has worked for us? And I answered, yes, Lord. I give you my word before our Lord that I will never change it. Almost 9 years later. Yeah, almost about 9 years. If God shows you something. God taught me things of the grace of God. But I've never gone away from them. They're in line with the word. Everything that I show you. The same foundations of what we are in Christ. Of what we possess in Christ. The foundations that we learned with my mentors in the faith. and persecution has rained on me. But so what? If the Lord told me to speak about it, what does it matter? The advice and the nature of those people who do not have communion with the Lord in prayer, do not have that anointing is, oh, well, it's best if you don't talk about it, Brother Hugh, so he don't criticize you. If the one who has me healed is him, if what's taking care of me is the Lord, why would I have to be scared of criticism? Let them come. I'm not moved by that criticism. I'm moved by the word of God. Can you tell? Why? How? Well, because I continue speaking it. Hallelujah. And something that I have is, as the more they criticize me, the more they come against me. Because it's not the people, it's the devil. You know what I do? I preach more. I speak more. I say more. Amen. I don't know. God made me that way. Made me peculiar. To you as well. You just don't believe it. That's the thing. That's the big difference. You're scared of it because they blocked you on your Facebook account or your Instagram account. You don't have so many friends anymore on Saturday. Then one time, I'm bored here on Saturday because ever since I started this of faith, my friends don't talk with me anymore. I told them that's better. And sometimes my friends or my family would invite me to barbecues. Oh, we'll just have a barbecue there at home. More food for you. You don't have to share with everyone. Think about it that way. Hallelujah. But some of you, please don't get offended because I don't want to offend you. But some of you break down like a $5 briefcase that they sell in a Chinese store. God forbid someone block you. You fall into depression for 2 days. Amen. I told you, if you're not coming against the devil, it means you're going in the same path he is. Hallelujah. But when they criticize you, oh, what? Who does he think he is? Look at what he said. Look at this and that. He's conservative. Yeah, and? Glory to God. That anointing gives you this, brothers and sisters. You know why the Lord spoke of what he spoke of? You know why the Lord spoke with authority? Because he spent time with the Lord. He spent time with the Father. Glory to God. Let's see something here in the last few minutes that I have left. Praise the Lord that I came to church. Galatians. Galatians 1. Galatians 1 verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make you known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. How did the Apostle Paul say? He received it by what? By revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will tell you to do something that he didn't do? No, the answer would be no. Now, go to chapter 12 of Hebrews. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, verse 2, Hebrews 12, 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him endured the cross for love. Did you know that when he was going to give his life for us, glory to God, all the children of the devil were going to convert into children of God. But what was in him? Joy. What was in him? Joy. Hallelujah. Joy. Joy. Do you know what you're going to say? Based on the word of God, you're going to say, I don't have to be sick of anything. I don't have to be sick of anything because the Lord Jesus Christ took all of my illnesses. And I refuse to be like this. With valor, and you tell your body, align yourself with the word of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. You have to have courage. You have to tell the devil sometimes. But there are Christians, Mr. Devil, can you leave me alone, please? And the devil, no. Now, where did I tell you to go to? Hebrews, we're just in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 12, joy. One of the things that the Lord spoke when he prayed, I don't have time to show you. When he would pray, he would have joy. A moment ago, that he rejoiced in the Spirit. He did not use vain repetitions. All the prophets. Did you know that Moses was a prophet? All the prophets that spoke were inspired by the Spirit of God in them. All the Psalms were in divine inspiration of the Spirit of Christ. So you can all say amen, because we've already seen it many times. Especially when I've spoken during the time of Holy Week. In 1 Peter 1, verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesies of the grace that would come to you. Searching what? Of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. Not just announcing the suffering, but what does all of this mean? Do you remember when the prophets, some of them, and word of the Lord came over me? It was the Spirit of Christ that inspired us. Because the Lord Jesus has always existed. The Lord Jesus has always existed. The difference is that in the Gospels, he incarnated here, but he has been one with God for eternal past. Well, he is the same that inspired what is written in Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So when Jesus prayed, part of what he prayed everything that was written of him, of the law, in the prophets, and the Psalms, with acts of thanksgiving. We see a prayer where he also spoke with the Father. Because then we all are going to see some verses where the Lord prayed. He would sometimes pray all night or depart to different places to pray. He spent a lot of time in prayer. Then why do you think that you don't have to pray? Pray. Not vain words, not vain repetitions, not just to say something. We're going to see also the model of God the Father. It's a model, but it's not written so that we should constantly cite it. Oh, Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come your kingdom, come your will be done. Not that it's wrong, but sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, when you pray, or I'm going to correct what I'm saying. Not all the time, but there are times where you can use it, but you have to know how to use it. But when you pray, always have your Bible with you all the time. Always have your Bible. All the time. All the time have something to where you can write on. Because the Spirit of the Lord will speak to you, will incite something in you or some scriptures here inside of you. so that you can write them down. And then you look at them and then you read them carefully. Don't run. Don't rush it. Don't try to impress God to see how quickly you can find a verse. You'll ruin everything there. Read carefully and let Him tell you. So there are times where I open my Bible there in Matthew or in Luke. I start like this: Father, my Father, my Father, who is in heaven, but you're also here. You're with me. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you are one with me. Sanctified, honored, exalted be your name. You're worthy of all glory. But also, what is known as God the Father, God our Father, if you look at it carefully, you'll see then that there are certain implications when it says, give us this bread, our daily bread. He will supply all that we need. Part of God the Father that I pray, you notice how there's a difference of just citing it, quoting it as is. But you extract that part in Matthew 6:10 where it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I always say, Father, thank you. I read it and then I say, Father, thank you that your will is done here in my life, in my personal life, in the life of my family, in the life of my ministry. Your will is done here on this earth as it is done in heaven. That means what He predestined before the foundation of the earth, that I would do what I am doing. In all areas, family with my wife, my children, ministry, or whatever. But everything is in line with that strong relationship with God. Thank you, Lord. Now this is our second session. Don't be discouraged. But start from today, from right now. Start saying, Father, teach me to pray. I receive it. Teach me how to pray. I believe I receive that petition. And then you take advantage if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's another thing that you should do, is pray in other tongues. Amen. In our next session of this series, we're going to see part 2 of how the Lord prayed. And I'll show you with the Bible. And we're going to see how the Lord also prayed and would pray for a long time. Now, don't close your Bibles yet. We haven't finished. I'm going to say something. Come here. The reason people have asked me, why do we always receive offerings at the end? The Lord spoke to me years ago based on Galatians 6. 6 and 7. 6 says, be participant of all good thing that is instructed in the word. And then verse 7. He who is taught in the word. Oh, leave verse 6 there. This is not about me, but the church, the ministry in which you're teaching. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In other words, you'll reap the revelation of the word that is taught to you. And it's an opportunity that God gave us. Now, this is on you if you do it or not. It's best to do it. But you're given the opportunity to sow in the word in which you heard. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we must be grateful of everything that the Lord has given us. Being grateful begins with what Christ has paid for us. Many times we might say, what am I supposed to be grateful for to God? I don't see any results. But God wants us to be mindful of the sacrifice that he made for us. That spiritual death that he had, when we begin to truly remember, we will begin to do everything in true gratefulness. Our pastor just said, we must watch our words. We must watch our words. Why? Because God will bring forth what he has said. He gives us the seed. Then we say, well, I am doing it. I'm tithing. I'm sowing my seed that I receive. But we also have to continue with the following step, which is to watch our words. Many times we want to mix our words of blessing what we're doing, but at the same time, we're also complaining and with our actions. We begin to talk about things we should not be saying. So that makes our seed to wither. Brothers and sisters, we must reflect and be determined to be orderly with our tongue so that what the Lord is saying might be manifested in our lives. We have to see results, but if you continue to see what the world is doing and what's going on around you, everything you hear will cause you to be fearful. And that fearfulness will cause you to talk contrary to what the Word of God is saying if we do not correct the way we're speaking. If we do not put down those spirits that are tormenting us and they're making us speak what we should not be speaking, then we will be bound by them. Many times we might say, oh, I'm walking by faith. I'm waiting for God to provide. I'm waiting for God to show me that I will never lack any good thing. In my finances, in my house, I know that I'll have enough work. I'll open up a business. I will see the glory of God, because the glory of God has to be manifested in these final days. You see, in these times, with the children of God, you must see prosperity. You must see that you will lack no good. It doesn't matter what's going on outside. You have to be certain that the Lord will always provide for you, that you will rebuke what's evil. And the one that will manifest everything that God has provided is the Holy Spirit. And many times we have made him sad because of the words that come out of our mouth. That puts him to shame. He gets sad. He gets weary every time you and I speak against the Word of God. But when you speak with the authority of the Word of God, you begin to see the supernatural of God. It is time. This 2025, God wants you to see the supernatural of His power. He wants you to see His glory. Many times when we speak about the glory of God, we imagine, we think that it's going to be like a lightning. And I'll give you an example of the glory of God. The Word of God says that Jesus told one of Lazarus' sisters, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And how did she see the glory of God? When she saw that Lazarus was resurrected. That's the glory of God. When she saw that Lazarus came back to life, imagine what was going inside of Lazarus' body. His body was completely dead. His brain, his organs were dead. But the glory of God brings forth life. Just like he's telling us now, we cannot falter. We cannot go back into being walking in doubt or unbelief. Whenever things seem like nothing is left to do, you will see the glory of God. But you need to watch your words. If you go with me to James, chapter 3. It's the time right now. We see that there's mountains of fear in people. People are fearful. They don't know what's going to happen. And many of them that tithe and give their offerings, they're still walking in that fear because they're not assured in the Word. But God wants you to be assured that He is faithful and that what He says in His Word will come to pass. But He expects for you to watch your mouth, your tongue, and to begin to speak in line with the Word of God. And you have to be disciplined. You need to discipline your own tongue. You need to begin now to start working on that. So the Word says in James chapter 3, verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it, with the tongue, we curse men. And the Word of God says, verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things are not to be so. This should not continue. To speak blessing and then to speak curse. The Spirit of God is saddened with words that come out of our mouth. And we can see that in Ephesians 4:3. We can see that the Holy Spirit is not happy with what comes out of our mouth. Now go with me to John chapter 14, verse 26. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. And He's saying that the Holy Spirit is sent to comfort us, to help us, and to remind us. But if He is saddened, how is He going to bring to remembrance to us something that we are putting to shame with what we speak? But we believe that because we say, oh, I tithe, I give my tithes and I give my offerings, God is going to do what I say. But no, you have to understand that God will manifest blessings in your life as long as your words are in line with what His Word says. If your words are not in line with what is written on the Word of God, it doesn't matter how many verses you speak on your envelope, and then your tongue says the contrary, nothing is going to happen. Because the Holy Spirit cannot manifest anything that is not in line with the Word of God. So He's saying, you know what? If you truly want to see good days, keep your mouth from speaking evil so that you can see those good days. And you need to do that. You need to rebuke those spirits that are coming to torment your spirit so that you may falter and fall into that doubt and unbelief, and then your mouth begins to speak it. You have to do it now. If you look outside and you see the economy out in the world, it's not good, and it's not like before. You know, like when we used to say, but we didn't have a revelation back then. And we would say, oh, God said He was going to provide me, that He's going to supply all my need. And I know I will see that manifestation. But you know what? Now, with the revelation of the Word of God, you cannot say the same. You cannot just say, oh, I can just say that bread is going to be manifested on my table when I'm not correcting my words. If I'm not speaking correctly, the Holy Spirit cannot manifest His power in my life. The Holy Spirit is holy. That's why He was with us, so that He may manifest His presence in these final times, which are critical. He's here so that He may manifest everything that Jesus paid for, you and me, if you do not turn your heart and take it back to being grateful for what Christ has already done for you and me. His work is going to be in vain. And no matter what you want to do to change your way of speaking, if you're not grateful, you won't see it. Because when there's gratefulness in your heart, that's when you understand and you receive what God has given you through Christ. When anything is given to you, even a piece of gum, and you are grateful for a piece of gum, and you say thank you, you will never forget that person that once in your lifetime he gave you a piece of chewing gum. So you and I must remember everything, the sacrifice that the Lord has done for you and me. And in every moment, in any place where you are, you will never forget to say thank you. That's why it's so important to turn your heart back to being grateful. Turn your heart to express your gratitude. Because when you are grateful, that's when you will change your way of speaking. That's when you will watch and put a guard on your mouth. And the Holy Spirit will be free to show you the latter rain. But we need to truly educate our tongues and to stick to what the Word of God is saying. Father, I thank you for the manifestation that you've said in your Word. For the one who gives their tithes, if he does it today, I declare the manifestation from you is ready. It has been done. But now I pray that their understanding may be opened to the one that is going to give their tithe, and they will see the power of being a tither. The power of tithing will begin to operate in them. And I declare that every seed that is sown, we will see the manifestation, and there will be a revelation in each one of us to understand what that represents to us. That seed, that result will come in a multiplication. And I thank you for the latter rain will begin to fall, because you said that in difficult times the supernatural will be manifested. It will, the glory of God will be manifested. And I declare the glory of God over every single tither. I declare the glory of God over every single sower tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that wonderful manifestation.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to sow online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it one time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.